Well, everybody can sense it in the air now. The incriminations, the allegations, the investigations, anybody associated with Donald Trump or any people working for companies that may have been associated with Donald Trump, they'll be investigated and thoroughly inspected to make sure that no members of the population that might have survived Donald Trump, the domestic terrorists that launched the insurrection, that whole thing, we all know that's coming. And if you're not afraid of that, then you're not paying attention. However, I think my job to point out to you on this Monday, January 18th, is simply this: the people that are been so good at taking away our freedoms, and who are determined to do an awful lot more of it in the next few days, weeks, and months, aren't coming at us with guns or machine guns. They're not coming at us with tanks or bombers. They're coming at us with iPhones, and they're coming at us with tweets. Every single thing that we've lost in this country, we have lost to peer pressure. Period. That's it. That's their only weapon. Their weapon against us is decency, and they are experts at deploying it. And really, all it takes to really disarm the left is to understand that that's exactly what's going on. And before I get to that, there's a number I want to talk about. That number is 173. I'll be brief. We are 82% of the way, 82 and change percent of the way of our 1,000 new members by January 20th, which would be the end of the day 2 days from now. And that means 1% of the spectators, not counting the people who've already stepped up, and we are very, very grateful to them. 1% of the people who watch the show for free, if 1% of you would go over and become a member at BillWhittle.com, the link is below, we would reach our goal. And I know you can do it. I know you can. I know you've been thinking about it, and now's your chance to act. You always wanted to be on one of the 1%, didn't you? Now's your big chance. Anyway, back to business. So, have you felt that for decades now, but especially the last several years, that everything that is wrong is considered right and everything that is right is considered wrong, that the government is on the side of the people smashing the windows, that the FBI is the one that's launching foreign conspiracies and not defending us against? We could go down the list forever and on and on and on. Have you not felt that? Well, that's because it's true. That's because that's what's happening. And the reason that everything feels so strange, and the reason you probably feel the way I do, which is that somebody must have put something in the water. Somebody has got to have put something in the water. There's no way that we would have stood for this and continue to stand for it unless there was something in the water. I've had that thought many times, and I am utterly convinced that this is the result of an ongoing, extraordinarily subtle psychological warfare campaign that has our number and that is constantly monitoring our response and constantly dialing the campaign in and out. And they are turning up the heat now because they sense the despair in the country after what they did on November 3rd. They sense it. They know that conservatives are not only demoralized, they're afraid and they're stunned and they don't know what to do. And so they're turning up the heat. If we were behaving differently, they would be turning down the heat. But basically, everything that has been done to us, all of the freedoms that we've lost, all of the election fraud, all of it is a result of one simple dynamic. And that dynamic is hands up or I'll tweet. We are being held hostage to our own decency. The charges of racism only work against people who aren't racist. You really have to think about that for a minute. Racists aren't ashamed of being called racist. Racists are proud of it. That's what their brand is. That's what they are. If you ask an actual racist what his philosophy is, he says, "I'm a racist." And the reason that they have been so effective in silencing opposition, and much more importantly than silencing opposition, much more importantly, the reason that they have been so effective in getting us to acquiesce to their demands is because no decent person wants to be called a racist or a homophobe or a misogynist or any of the rest of the isms or its that we're constantly bombarded with. Our own decency makes us shut up. And they've got this dialed in to a very high degree of precision. You really have to stand back and look at it as a battlefield strategy and just say to yourself, "My God, you want to talk about a revolution in military affairs? This is a game changer. This is better than gunpowder. Now we can make the enemy surrender. We don't even have to fire a shot. As a matter of fact, we can make the enemy surrender," that'd be us, by the way, "without weapons." That's what they've achieved. That's what they've achieved. They've got us to the point where we are frightened for our lives, and they haven't used weapons. The first time for everything. You gotta at least respect that if you don't admire the genius of it. So how does this whole dynamic work? Well, study after study after study, psychological studies have shown that people will do what other people are doing in contravention to their own most deeply held beliefs. You would have your test subject enter a room of 15 or 20 people. The professor says, just want to do some basic cognitive stuff before we get going, holds up a board, and on the board is a piece of string, and below that is a shorter piece of string. They're not close. They're not crazy far apart, but anybody from any kind of a quick glance can tell that the string on the top that's been glued to the board is considerably longer than the one on the bottom. And the guy says, okay, so just want to make sure that we can do this visual processing that we're about to do. He goes to the first person and says, which one of these strings is longer? The first person says, one on the bottom. And the guy who's the subject of the test experiment kind of laughs, you know, looks around. And they go to the second person. They say, which of these strings is longer? And the second person says, obviously, it's the one on the bottom. And they go down the line like that. By the time they get to 10 or 12 people, when they get to the guy, to the test subject, and they ask him, which one of these strings is longer? Most people, the vast majority of people, will say the one on the bottom. They will genuinely, literally say what they know to be false, which is being right in front of their lying eyes, and they will not differ from what the crowd says. Now, there may be a number of reasons for this. Maybe they just don't want to stand out. Maybe they don't want to have any kind of personal interactions. In some cases, maybe most cases, they think they're crazy. They actually do. These are professional actors that the psychologist has hired, and they're very convincing. The whole situation is very convincing. It's been carefully rehearsed. And so what you will find that is that in most cases, maybe the vast majority of cases, people will say, there's a long string, there's a short string. Which string is longer? Well, the short one is, because that's what everybody else said. Now, if you take that effect and you magnify it by, I don't know, how many people on Facebook? Billions? So let's say you magnify that embarrassment factor or that conformity factor by, let's just say a billion, nine orders of magnitude. Then strange things start to happen. And then you begin to realize that the left could never have accomplished what they've accomplished without social media. Never. Because if they hadn't had social media, if social media didn't exist, then one person complaining about something would be one person complaining about something. And a letter writing campaign might involve hundreds of people. But now you find one of these perennially outraged virtue signaling machines finds something that's not even really there, but they say it's there. Now all of a sudden, you've got corporations and individuals who are now looking at maybe millions of people boycotting their product, maybe millions of people calling them racist, homophobe, whatever the charges may be on the streets. Maybe they find their kids being bullied in school. Maybe they find crowds gathered outside their houses. And all of this magnification now becomes like a giant magnifying glass that's held out in the sun. Most people can take sunlight. Most people can go outside, and ants can walk around in the sunlight, and they're fine. But when you take the magnifying effect of social media, and all of a sudden now you have millions of people looking at every single action you take, or more specifically, one action that you might have taken, then what that social media does is, like a giant magnifying glass, it focuses all of that solar energy on one point, and it just vaporizes that ant. It'll burn through wood. It'll do whatever you want it to. That's what social media does. But when you get right down to it, it's still just sunlight. And when you get right down to all of the things that we've been retreating on, it's still ultimately just peer pressure. It's, I don't want people to think this about me. I don't want people to think bad about me. Now, in the age of social media, it's more than just thinking bad about you. If you should come underneath that social media magnifying glass, you can get badly burned. If you work for a company and you do something that the mob decides that they don't like, they can put enough pressure on the company to fire you. And you could lose your livelihood. And now there's a record of your social transgressions, which I assure you is going to be more and more and more powerful in the years to come, more and more and more important as more and more people back down. And my job and the job that we do here and the job of some other people, but I'm not hearing a lot of people talk about this. The job of this company from this point forward, thanks to the people that have signed up, or I'm saying 173 of you, is to point out these things, is to make you aware of how you're being manipulated and why, and to, at the very least, bring to your conscious mind the subconscious reaction that you're having all the time. You're having it all the time. Everybody is susceptible to it. Everybody. I find myself time and time again falling victim to it. And this has been going on for so long that I can clearly remember events of 10 years ago when this was nothing like this powerful, nothing like this powerful. And hearing Rush Limbaugh say something on the radio and just gasping, like, my God, did he actually say that? Yes, he did. How could he say that in this day and age? Well, because it's true. Yeah, I know it's true, but still, he just came out and said it. Yeah, he just came out and said something true, because Rush Limbaugh is a genius and he's a hero. He has the moral courage to know what's right and he stands by it. And because Rush Limbaugh, as one example and the greatest example by far, because Rush Limbaugh personally, because that one man has the moral courage to be able to say what's true, he gives millions of people permission. He gives them permission to believe what their own lion eyes are telling them. That's why he's so revered. That's why he's the giant among men. That's why the fact that he even knew my name and wrote nice things about me in an inscription to his book is one of the high points of my life, because he is the model. He's the model. I'll tell you my favorite Rush Limbaugh story. Rush basically says, I'm on my way to play golf and I'm in my private jet by myself enjoying my trip to Texas so I can go golfing, and I realize I've left my favorite driver back at home. So I make a phone call, then I have a staff member go over to my house and I have them take that particular driver and have them and put them on EIB2, Excellence in Broadcasting 2, my second private jet, and I have them fly that club out to Texas on my second private jet. And I heard that. I said, how can he possibly say that? How can he say that? Doesn't it, I mean, all of this stuff about jet travel and carbon emissions, I mean, is the guy insane? And that's how much of a Stockholm syndrome we are victims to. Because the second my brain did that reactive kind of thing, it did that reactive subconscious, you can't say that. The instant that I heard my mouth say, he can't say that. You just can't. Whether he did it or not, you can't just come out and say that. That's when I realized just how much all of us are held hostage to this stop or hands up or I'll tweet mentality. Because Rush Limbaugh has every single right to send his second jet to bring him his driver, his golf clubs. It's his money. He can do whatever the hell he wants with it. And the whole global warming thing we're not even going to get into. It's his money. If he wants to send a private jet to deliver a golf club, he can do it because it's his money. He's not taking somebody else's money. He's not coercing money from you at gunpoint. You voluntarily bought the products that he's advertised. The advertisers have paid Rush. He's bought a second jet. And if he wants to use that jet to fly his golf clubs out to where he is, then not only can he do it, he should do it. God bless him. He is a genius. And he's a moral hero. And Rush breaks the spell of hands up or I'll tweet, breaks it every day. I'm sad to say it's not going to be much longer before we lose this giant. But he's fighting till the very end. And this is a cause that has to be continued. I'm not for a second trying to suggest that I'm going to take his place. No one's going to be able to take his place. But the message is the same. We are the victims of a gigantic, enormously concentrated source of peer pressure. And we live in fear. We used to live in fear of what our neighbors might think. What would the Joneses say if we showed up wearing these ratty clothes or whatever? The Joneses got a new car and our car is 4 years old. And now we feel like, you know, keeping up with the Joneses, was that go back to the 50s, 40s even maybe? So before, that sense of social status and prestige and peer pressure and all the rest of it was limited to our neighborhood and maybe the people around the water cooler at work. Now it goes around the world. It's magnified to that degree. It's 9 orders of magnitude more powerful. And we simply acquiesce, with a few exceptions. And now we get to the point, really. Because what we find is that the people who are able to resist this, and mostly I'm talking about corporations here, but occasionally it's an individual as well. What we find is that when people have the moral courage to resist this mob and their badly burning magnifying glass of scrutiny and the kind of fame that you generally don't want, what we find is that when people stand up to them, their reward is overwhelming. There's a company called Eagard Watch Company that made a commercial that was pretty much right after the Gillette, you know, we've all got to stop being such toxic rapists and learn how to be, you know, sensitive men and real men and stop beating women like we do on a daily basis. That's basically how that commercial went. Well, right after that, Eagard Watch Company came out and basically did a commercial about how men are important and strong. No kidding. I bought the watch that day. I just bought the watch. Never wear it. It's too big for me. I don't like it. It's actually not my kind of watch, but I bought it anyway. And I bought that watch because that company needed to be rewarded for doing the right thing. They needed to be rewarded for speaking the truth. How many times have we seen Republican politicians think that by playing along with the left and agreeing to their premises and all of it, and I'm talking to you now, Mitch McConnell, that somehow this gives them a pass? In other words, how many times have we seen politicians accept the fact that the left is dictating the terms of the morality and they've decided to play along for whatever reason? Some people say, well, they just want to maintain their, continue to go to the parties and all the rest of it. That might be some of it. I think it is actually much more powerful than that, because I think when you talk about psychological effects, now you get to start dealing with Stockholm syndrome, which is the ability, not the ability, the necessity of a hostage to identify with the person who's got a gun to their head, emotionally connect to them. It's not a game, Stockholm syndrome. It's not people pretending to agree with their hostage takers. They genuinely believe that these bank robbers or these terrorists or whatever are in the right. Their fear and their psychological desire to not be killed is so powerful that it's not a game, it's not a joke, they're not pretending. They genuinely believe that the Syrian Liberation Army is exactly what's right for America, or Palestinian terrorists, or Al-Qaeda, insert whatever. When somebody's got a gun to your head for long enough, you will start to identify with them and you won't be pretending. When you brutalize a people long enough, when you demonize them enough, when you continually make everything that they do, well, you start off by making it uncool, and then you make it criminal, and then, you know, socially criminal, then you make it actually illegal and so on, then people will start to behave the way that people behave. They'll develop Stockholm syndrome, they'll identify with their oppressors, and they'll go along. And that's what's starting here. You can feel it in the air. You can feel the fear starting to gather among conservatives. And our job here is to clue you in on what's happening and to remind you of a couple things. First of all, they don't have guns. They're not taking this stuff away from us with guns. They're not taking this stuff away from us with threats to kill our family. Thank God for the Second Amendment, because otherwise that's what exactly they'd be doing. But it's your acquiescence. And your acquiescence is being extracted from you by very powerful psychological forces, but by no physical forces whatsoever. In other words, folks, there's nothing to be afraid of, not yet anyway, and we're trying hard to make sure we never get to that point. Nothing to be afraid of other than worrying about what other people might say about you, which is an important, in fact, the important part of human psychology. So the best way to deal with this is to simply walk away from social media. If people are calling you a racist and you never hear them, they have no power over you. If people accuse you of all of these things in a way and a means to get you to shut up and you never hear them, then that psychological effect never kicks in. But if it does come to the point where you find yourself wanting to agree just for the sake of some peace and quiet, if you feel this pressure, then first of all, understand it. It's a psychological weapon being deployed against you to get you to shut up and go along with what these communist bastards want you to do. It is part of their power grab. See it for what it is. Recognize it. Alternatives to the existing social media have been suppressed, and that's good, because once again, it shows us how hard they are trying to silence any opposing viewpoints. And this is the thought that I'll leave you with, because this is the thing you got to take away from the episode today. They wouldn't be doing any of this. They wouldn't be censoring opinions on Facebook. They wouldn't be reducing the views to my channel consistently and constantly. Whenever we get to 100,000 views, they readjust their algorithms and we're back down to 7,000. They wouldn't be doing that to me, wouldn't be doing that to everybody. They wouldn't block President Trump from Twitter. They wouldn't cancel Facebook pages for conservative causes. They wouldn't take down the walk away page for people who have decided to leave the Democratic Party. They wouldn't do any of this if they weren't very, very afraid. Now you just think about that for a second. If you can provide me with a reason why they would do all of these things that doesn't come from them being absolutely afraid, then I'm happy to listen to it. Now you can say, well, they're trying to eliminate thought. They're on a roll. They're trying to close the net. Absolutely true. Why are they trying to close the net? Why are they so afraid of people having a different opinion from them? I'm not afraid of what they say. I have no desire, no intent to shut down any speech that disagrees with me, because number one, I've got a better idea than they do, and my ideas survive better in the marketplace of ideas, and our ideas are the same. So I don't have any desire to do it. I don't have any motive, is a better term. I don't have any desire to do it because I understand also that without criticism, without opposition, we're all capable of falling into that same kind of arrogance, which becomes murderous arrogance that we see on the left all the time. I think free speech is wonderful. So ask yourself, why are they doing all these things? If they're so sure they're right, why are they doing it? What are they so afraid of? They're afraid of the truth. And that's the thing that they're afraid of. And this is why we should be comfortable and calm and confident. Because they fear the light of the truth, and you cannot manufacture darkness. You can only keep out the light. That's all you can do. You can paper up all the walls and the windows on the walls. You can lock the doors. You can try to block out the sun, do all of those things. But you cannot generate darkness. There's no darkness generator. You can't pour darkness into a room. You can only keep out the light. And the light is what they are afraid of, which is why they're working so hard to keep it extinguished. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. It's not. That should fill you with joy. Before I go today, I just want to clarify, as of this morning, we are 82.7% of the way to our goal of meeting 1,000 new members. Tomorrow, I will announce what we're going to do with the money that we already have, and we'll have a couple of stretch goals in there. We've got 2 days now, two more shows left to get 173 members. That is genuinely 1% of the people that are watching right now for free. Can you help us do that? We've got big plans here, and we've got a big space to move into. We're going to have some big shoes to fill. One way or another, on the morning of January 21st, you're never going to hear me talk about this again for 3 months. I'm going to be absolutely silent. We have a goal. We're going to either make it or not. But after that, I'm not going to be talking about this every episode for months until we bring the new stuff in. You can tell us whether you like it or not. We'll pick it up again with a spring drive. But don't let these people control you. The only effect they have is to take good, decent, honest people and convince them that if they don't do what they say and keep their head down, then they're repulsive, horrible people. And you're not. You're the best people in the world.